Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A Jewish father was concerned about his son, who was about a year away from his bar mitzvah, but was sorely lacking in his knowledge of his Jewish faith. So to correct this, he sent his son to Israel. A year later, the young man returned home. "Father," he said, "thank you for sending me to the land of the patriarchs and our fathers," the boy said. "It was wonderful and enlightening. However, I must confess that while in Israel, I converted to Christianity." "Oy vey," replied the father, "what have I done?" So in the tradition of the patriarchs, he went to his best friend and sought out his advice and solace. "It is amazing that you should come to me," his friend said. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he returned a Christian." So, in the tradition of the patriarchs, they went to the rabbi. "It is amazing that you should come to me," said the rabbi. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he returned a Christian." "What's happening to our sons? Brothers, we must take this to God," said the rabbi. So, they fell to their knees and began to wail and poured out their hearts to the Almighty. As they prayed, the clouds above opened, and a mighty voice from above said, "Amazing that you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel." I like that story. Cute little story. Everybody knows where it's going to go, but it's fun. And I started that way because of what's on the bulletin cover today. And who said what's on the bulletin cover? How do we know that God too sent his son to Israel? Because God the Father spoke from the heavens in the gospel lesson today when Jesus was baptized. And when God spoke, all of those gathered around Jesus knew that God had sent his son to Israel. There was no denying that God spoke from heaven and made it clear that his own son was the one he promised to send to the people of Israel. Look at verse 15 of the gospel lesson. There's a little quiz. I'm going to add a little test for you here. What does it say there about the people? What were they doing? What's that? No, they weren't. But what were they doing? What were the John was? But they were waiting. Ah, there we go. They were waiting, yeah. They were waiting expectantly. They were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the one that was promised by God. The people had the expectation that God would fulfill his promise. They were seeking God to keep his word to them. That word of promise is echoed in the Old Testament lesson today. In verses 5 through 7, it says in part, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And the people that were in the gospel lesson today were wondering if John the Baptist was bringing the fulfillment of God's promise. They wanted God to gather them, to bring them, and keep them separated from others so that they could glorify God. Now, of course, some of them just simply wanted the hated Romans to be kicked out and gone. But still, even such a desire was rooted in God's promise to be called together in the name of God. They were looking for the certainty of who John was, and they were seeking certainty from God that he was keeping his word to them. Now, this wasn't something that they did only on the Sabbath. It wasn't something they did just as some religious observance. It wasn't something that they just occasionally talked about. This was in the people's hearts and minds. This was something they talked about among themselves. That's significant for us. In our coming together to worship, we're doing the same thing. We're talking about God keeping his promise and his word. We come here and we receive his gifts of word and sacrament. And those deliver his promise to us. We come and we hear God's call that we are his sons and daughters. You are God's son and daughter that he has created. We gather to talk not about the hope of God's promises, but of the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, we're not that different from those people who were wondering if John was the Christ. Yeah, they had a different language and they didn't have electricity. But other than that, and notice that here in the baptism of Jesus, notice that here in that baptism is found and revealed the answer that the people were looking for. It was Jesus, not John the Baptist, who is the one in whom the longing of the people who are waiting expectantly is fulfilled. Jesus is the one who relieves all the wondering and the wandering of the hearts of the people that Luke mentions there in verse 15. Now, note also verse 21. I want you to read that aloud with me. Is that not on there? There it is. Let's read that together. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, the heavens were open. Jesus was baptized along with all the people. But at his particular baptism and prayer, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form of a dove. That's what it tells us in verse 22. It also says that the voice of God from heaven spoke of Jesus and made clear to all the people there that this one, not John the Baptist, but that Jesus was the singular fulfillment of his promise. This was God's own Son, whom he too sent to Israel, like we said at the beginning. In his baptism, Jesus has been revealed as the Christ, as the promised one. And not only in his baptism, but also by his birth and the events surrounding his birth. God used Gabriel and angels and shepherds and the wise men to demonstrate that this ordinary birth was for an extraordinary child. Now, the wise men are significant because this week was Epiphany, the day we celebrate the coming of the wise men. Now, Christmas is our celebration of the appearance of Jesus in human flesh. That is, his appearance as true man. Epiphany is the celebration of the revelation of Jesus Christ as true God. Again, the eternal and almighty Son of God in heaven. Now, in the Old Testament lesson, God says of Jesus, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Now, during our Christmas celebration, we marvel that Jesus was truly human. During our Epiphany celebration, we marvel that Jesus was truly the Son of God. Now, the wise men presented to Jesus special gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These special gifts pointed out Jesus' kingship in the gold, his divine nature in the incense, and his necessary death in the myrrh. Just ponder for just a moment. If you could have joined these wise men to visit the Christ child, what gift would you have brought for this infant king? Well, I want to tell you, we can bring gifts to our King and our Savior. That's because he's with us even today. Our worship services are a gathering of wise people, wise men, wise women, wise children, who come to worship our King and our Savior. Every time we worship, we can bow before him and offer him the gift of our lives, of all that we are and all that we have, our time, our talents, and our worldly treasures. Now, the wise men came and gave to the Christ child gifts that have meaning for Jesus' life and his death. What they brought spoke of their comprehension of who Jesus was and what his work on earth would be. And then today, in his baptism, we see the beginning of his work on earth as an adult. In his baptism, we see that the child who was born in Bethlehem is indeed the Holy One of Israel. He is God's own Son, sent to Israel and to the world to bring about the forgiveness of sin and the restoration to God that God promised long ago. What gives our baptism its power is what God does with it, not what we do. Now, that certainty comes to us in our own baptism, according to St. Paul in the epistle lesson today, where he says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." That promise of resurrection is ours. Unlike what we talked about today in Sunday school, where those who have to deal with reincarnation have to go through this life again in some other form, we have the promise and the certain hope of the resurrection. That's what God has poured out on us in our baptism. God does that. We don't do that. God has chosen to give us that certain hope, that assurance of life new and life eternal through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says we're united with him in death and in life through our baptism. So let me ask you something else. What do you want to be doing this year so that others can have the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? If you had the permission, what would you do so that others could share in the gift of God that is yours through your baptism? Now, I'm not asking you about what committee or what board you should join, and that's a good thing to do, but what do you want to be doing to enable all of us to be reaching out to Bolivar in some way as we gather together for word and worship, as for outreach and service? Something for you to think about. Now, the wise men brought gifts with which to worship Christ. I want to tell you, you also bring gifts. You bring the gifts that God, by his grace, has equipped you with. So I got another question then. How are you going to use them? How will you use those gifts? There are some things in life you can control and some things you can't. But of those things you can control, you alone have the choice to use your gifts or not use them. I think that God has given us great gifts and wonderful abilities in all of the people that are gathered in this place. Now, there was a man in New York City some years ago. They called him the Subway Superman. This guy, Wesley Autry, was his name. He jumped on the tracks on a New York subway and held another man still who was having a seizure as the subway train went over them. And in doing that, he saved his life. When asked about why he did it, he said that he had a choice. He had a choice to let his two little daughters see a man die, or he could try and do something about it. He chose to do something about it. Christ also chose to do something about our certain death situation. And his salvation of us does not depend on what we do or what we think we know. We thank God for that. That's what Jesus' coming to earth is all about. Because God, too, sent his Son to Israel. We leave here today knowing we are Christians by his work. We know that our hope, our certainty, is in the work that he has done. And we know that others need to hear that. We are called to be faithful in the telling of the truth of Jesus Christ, the Christ of God, for whom the world has waited. Jesus is the one who, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, delivers us from our guilt of sin and from the shame of our rebellion against God. Jesus is the promised deliverer who the people were looking for at his baptism, as we read today. We leave here today refreshed and restored by his work and the gifts he gives us, his word and his very life. In his name we pray. Amen.